This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a movement. It's a revolution. And I'm excited to be a small part of it.
Rich Campbell.
I'll get up with you. Have some coffee.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat writer.
Everything that happened, every last word is in my notes.
Bringing you the latest from Halas Hall.
The season is so much longer. It's so much harder to get to the final game and win the final game. But we're hoping for a lot of those fub-dub.
Asking hard-hitting questions.
What impressed you about Leonard Sack?
Rich Campbell with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'm Connor. Dan is out. Mark Grody is in. This hour is brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. We got to talk a little Bears because in 2 weeks, vets report to camp along with... And now Mark Grody will be a veteran of the Bears beat. He's got one season under the belt. And another season elsewhere just kind of washed over all over him.
Ah, yes. Looking forward to the dorm room.
It is our opportunity now to talk with Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune. He is also on the Bears beat. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford hotline. Al Pamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Rich, about this time last year, I was just kind of walking around the neighborhood. I ran into you, a free Rich Campbell, no cares, no concerns in the world, just taking a stroll around the neighborhood, and you were days away from reporting to camp. I imagine you are as free as ever walking around right now with camp right around the corner.
That's right. That's right. You know, your mind starts to go there, so you kind of lose those last couple weeks of the off season. But, you know, there's such a different feel to what's going on with this team right now than in any year we can remember. You probably have to go back to 2011, you know, the last time they were coming off a playoff appearance and some success. And so now, you know, as you think forward, it's all about expectations and the pressure and sort of the way they've set themselves up for the spotlight and trying to really make a run at a championship while the quarterback is on his rookie deal. And it just feels so much better than in past years where you're just wondering how they can get through. You're wondering if they can find any players. Now you're wondering if they can put it all together, and that's a lot more fun.
And you wonder if they can do it again, especially, when I say do it again, I mean on the defensive side of the ball. I like the hiring of Chuck Pagano. I think he brings immediate credibility to the defense, and it seems like he gets it as in he's not going to change things ridiculously. But I have identified three Chicago Bears players, Rich, on the defense that I think mostly benefited from Vic Fangio. I mean, I'm sure all of them did, but those three guys, Bilal Nichols last year, who had three sacks and five tackles for loss, and it seemed like Vic Fangio found ways to put him in the exact right position to succeed. Roquan Smith with his five sacks last year, most of them on blitzes. Again, Fangio putting him in the right place to succeed. And then Kyle Fuller, like changing his career around, going from a guy who it didn't look like he was going to last with the Bears to becoming a first-team all-pro type of player. I guess the question is, are we underestimating the value of what Vic Fangio did with his defense, even though the talent is obvious with the players?
Yeah, I think that there is a risk of that, certainly. And what every fan should understand and recognize, I mean, put your arms around this, is it was not plan A for them to lose Vic Fangio and have someone else coordinate their defense. Right. You know, that is not what the Bears wanted to have happen. It's a product of their success. It's a product of Vic's success personally, and I think he deserved that head of coaching job. I can't wait to see how he does in that job. But they had reached a point after four seasons playing for Vic defensively where they really trusted him as a game manager and as a game planner. And I would add two other people to your list, Mark, and one is Akeem Hicks.
Yeah.
You know, Vic did such a good job of pushing Akeem's buttons and finding ways to motivate him And you would see it come out in plays like the goal line stand with an exhausted defense in overtime in Miami, where Akeem forced that fumble at the goal line. You know, Vic really found a way to reach Akeem and bring his play to a higher level. The other player is Prince Amukamara, who really came to trust Vic as a play caller, and I think that's really important for the secondary and guys who have to just cover on an island and play press in what has become, you know, a passing league where the rules are stacked against them. And we're talking about their top players, you know, that really gravitated to Vic, that connected with Vic. And so with Pagano coming, I think his demeanor, his temperament and personality as a nice, energetic guy, a guy players relate to, that helps him. But I think Pagano is helped mostly by the fact that this is really a self-motivated group defensively. The buy-in across the entire team is excellent, but they really have good leaders, and it starts with Khalil Mack. I mean, Mack to be their best player and their hardest-working practice player, and the list behind him is very long in that regard. Guys want to win. They want to be successful collectively, and it's not about individuals. I really came to appreciate that last year about this group, how that sense of team elevated them, and I think Pagano inheriting that is really going to benefit, because these guys are going to work through some of the transition speed bumps better because of that.
How are you going to go, I don't want you to give any away trade secrets, Rich, but how are you going to go about finding out how that communication is affected with a scheme change? Well, not a scheme change, but a change in terminology. What's the best way to find out if they're actually hitting a block or two?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, there is no secret to this, and we're going to have to watch it play out. And even more unfortunately, it's probably going to be until the regular season, because you understand that they really aren't going to show much. You know, they're going to use the unknown to their advantage through the preseason and into the regular season. So we'll have to keep an eye in practice about, let's say, blown coverages. You know, when they are running their stuff in practice, because they're not going to do it in the games, but when they're running their stuff in practice, are there receivers that are running wide open because there's been a miscommunication in the secondary? We'll keep an eye on that, but I really think it's going to come out in the game. And one of the things, as I said, about Vic that was so good, I mean, by and large, he was a really, really, really good play caller. You could point out instances where the defensive play calling broke down, as you could with every team, but generally he had the trust of his players. Pagano, it's been a very long time, I think, since he's called defenses. So let's see how he does and whether he can get that trust from his group. And then, you know, I think Mark would agree, all we heard from these guys throughout the spring, a lot of cliches, you know, a lot of coach speak about how the transition was smooth and everything. I want to see it to believe it. I think we should all expect maybe a little bit of a bumpier road through September than people would like. But I think ultimately by midseason, the group will be humming and they'll be very good again.
Yeah, Rich, I agree with that. Another area where I would use that exact same terminology, see it to believe it, is Mitchell Trubisky and the offensive side of the ball. And a lot of things have been thrown out there about Trubisky from his teammates, about the massive jump that they've already seen him make in the off-season workouts and the mini camp and everything like that. What do you realistically expect from Trubisky? And this is his third year, really, you know, his second year under Matt Nagy. What should be the bar for Trubisky this year?
Well, he's got to lower the interceptions. He's got to protect the ball, and he's got to sustain drives. And there was just too much inconsistency, I felt like, in that regard last year. And you can break down each of his interceptions and pass credit or blame around if you want. But what really, to me, you have to see eliminated are some of the ones where his mechanics really got away from him, and he would sail throws over open receivers to you know, a defender just waiting underneath the ball. I'm thinking of the Bills game when he overthrew Trey Burton, and the Rams game where he threw a couple picks in that game. The interceptions have to come down first and foremost. He's got to protect the ball, because if he does protect the ball, okay, that means they're using this retooled skill position group. And last year it was the receivers, the pass catchers, and this year it's the running backs. And if Trubisky's protecting the ball, now Matt Nagy's got all of these options and weapons to use. New ones, including David Montgomery out of the backfield, Mike Davis behind him, Cordero Patterson in a specialized role, Tariq Cohen a little bit more, slotted a little bit more suited to what he does best, which is probably play from out of the backfield, maybe line up wide a little bit, and take advantage of mismatches. They can afford to do that a little bit more. And I think because of everything they've built around Mitch, now it's on the quarterback. Third season, second one with Nagy. Let's see if he is anticipating open receivers at training camp. Remember last year at training camp where we went 10 practices in a row to start camp, Trubisky had at least one pick. Mm-hmm. That cannot happen this year. He's got to be way ahead of that as we get into August. And at that point, we can reassess and try to get a little bit of a more concrete feel about how sharp he is, how well he's seeing things, and how quickly he's making decisions.
Talking Bears with Rich Campbell, the Chicago Tribune, but you don't want to miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. What, Rich, are they doing with the tight end position? What is the, I guess maybe a better way to put it is, in their best case scenario, how does everything play out?
All right, the best case scenario would be Trey Burton shows up to camp with a fully functional groin muscle, and he is 100% healthy. He can run every route. He's got no restrictions. And he's the U tight end who takes a real step forward, having gone through a season with Mitch and developed chemistry in this offense. And then at the Y position, the best case scenario would be Adam Shaheen becomes the blocker that they've been trying to groom him to be, and they thought he was becoming last summer before he got hurt in that Denver preseason game. And you include him in some red zone packages and let him use his body to diversify what you've got down there. Okay, those two guys would be the best case scenario. But depth is definitely a question there. And not only the depth behind those two guys, but on the top line of the depth chart, as I said, Burton's coming off the sports hernia surgery. Adam Shaheen missed too much of last season to really have a sense of where his development is, and he's a second-round draft pick. That's a guy that has to be a really good player for you, and I think the jury is out on him completely. Let's see if he can stay healthy, be a little bit more nimble, stay on his feet, you know, use his balance a little bit better. Because then they could use his size and straight line running ability to help a little bit in the passing game. Behind that, I think you have real question marks, and that'll be one of the areas we're watching closely at camp.
How important, too, is the some of the other guys, the other receivers on the team? Allen Robinson in his second year. You mentioned Trey Burton. It'll be his second year in this offense. Anthony Miller, his second year in this offense and in the NFL for that matter. Taylor Gabriel, his second year with Matt Nagy in this Bears offense. Because, of course, we're going to talk about Mitch Trubisky, and he's going to hog most of the attention. But I think it's on those guys to also take the next step in this offense and to become more open and make it easier for Trubisky as well.
Yeah, let's zero in on Allen Robinson, okay? Because go back to this time a year ago, and Robinson is less than a year removed from ACL reconstruction, and then he missed, you know, a lot of offseason because he's rehabbing the knee. He missed that introductory offseason to the offense. I think, all things considered, he had a pretty productive and promising first season with the Bears, but it should only get better because he's passed both of those obstacles. You know, he was healthy all offseason, so now he's further distanced from the knee reconstruction, and he's had all this time this offseason to be in every rep and practicing with Mitch. So I think as we contemplate what the offense is going to be through the air, as you go past Mitch and think about his options, Robinson has to be the guy who we remember from free agency two offseasons ago as the top of the market receiver that the Bears, you know, either wanted Sammy Watkins or Allen Robinson, and they went out and got Robinson. And so let's see him be that 1,300-yard guy. If he is, they're going to have a great offense. And Robinson was really confident at the end of the offseason program about how good his leg felt, you know, compared to last year. So that's really promising. I look to him first and foremost to establish himself as a go-to guy. Maybe you know, you could probably fall into a trap of putting too much emphasis on how he produced in the Eagles playoff game, but you know, maybe that is something that they can build on together, how Robinson played there. And then Anthony Miller had out of the most receiving touchdowns on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, for the Bears' sake, that he's healthy. You know, that shoulder allows him to be more fluid with his movements now that he's had the labrum surgery and can get back into camp on time as expected. And then keep going, right? I mean, what can Tariq Cohen do now that they have in the backfield, David Montgomery and Mike Davis. I think they're going to use Cohen as a receiver a lot more than they did a year ago. And then Cordarrelle Patterson is a straight line runner who they can dial up screens for and have him be part of the running game. Riley Ridley and Javon Wims, those guys will compete. So I think if you're the Bears, while you don't have that Julio Jones, you know, Devontae Adams type number one receiver, there's a lot of talent there still, and it'll be up to Nagy to figure out, you know, how to get the ball around to everybody and for Mitch to continue developing chemistry with those guys.
So, Rich, it's the All-Star break, and in the baseball world, we're just kind of like wallowing around waiting for teams to start. Obviously, you're looking to see whether the Orioles trade Trey Mancini or something like that and get a piece back for him. But
trade everyone.
Trade everybody.
They could quit the rest of the season if they can trade everybody.
They really ought to. Although I do like what the front office has been doing. Still, though, because it's the All-Star break, our buddy Lawrence Holmes has been having a debate pretty much all week long. Is Mitchell Trubisky good? I wonder if you could chime in for Lawrence for us.
Yeah, I think that he needs to prove that he's good enough to validate being the second overall pick. You know, good enough to validate what the team believed when they drafted him. I don't think he has yet. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing or the fact that, you know, he's late and people should be panicked about it, but now it's time. Now it's time to see. I mean, you could write off the first year if you really want to, you know, under Fox because the cupboard was so bare. Last year, the retooling and the learning continued. Now it's time. If we're having this debate at the end of the 2019 season, that's a real problem. That's a real problem. So I'm, you know, unfortunately, probably a cop-out answer. I'm going to say wait and see.
It's hard, man. It's hard to answer that question until seeing this year when he's expected to take the big step up.
Well, because I don't want to say he's not good,
right?
Because I don't feel like there has been enough, you know, behind him yet. Now he's positioned to prove that he is good, and until now, whether it was the scheme, whether it was the personnel around him, whether it was his own level of rawness coming from North Carolina, judging him one way or the other, probably premature. You know, it's unfair to him to say, no, he's not good. But so now it's time. You know, we need to get to the end of 2019 and be able to say, this is their eraser. This is their guy who makes everyone else better. Now that they've added these receivers and running backs, no, Mitch, it's not them lifting up Mitch. Mitch has to lift them up. And I'm not sure he can do it. He was too inconsistent last year. So let's see. You know, we'll get an idea as we go through camp here, and the games will tell us a lot more, obviously.
For me, it comes down to accuracy and whether it was a result of not understanding the system or trusting it or something like that. Some sort
of. You talking
of,
about last year?
Yeah, last season. You know, you miss Miller down the seam route 6 or 7 times in 4 looks, it felt like. And that's it's impossible to do because it looked impossible to miss him. And I guess, if that is adjustable through understanding of the offense, then I feel a lot better about things. If accuracy is this unteachable, lift you out of the crib kind of thing, you worry.
Yeah, that's it. And especially because when they drafted him, that was the trait they touted the most, his accuracy, his natural accuracy. And truly, we have not seen that to the level at which it was advertised with him coming out of North Carolina. But I'm also with you, Connor, that if you're giving Mitch the benefit of the doubt, which, hey, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be here. They've put all this around him. So, okay, we see his athleticism. We see the great moments he's had. We saw the 6-touchdown Buccaneers game. There are a lot of reasons to believe that he'll get it. But that goes back to my original point is let's see him eliminate those interceptions where his mechanics just completely escape him and he drops his arm slot or he's off balance and he's overthrowing guys by 5 or 10 yards. That has to stop. I mean, he's got to be more accurate. I'm with you. Because it's the trait they advertised, you know, that and his athleticism, that has to shine. And I think, you know, as you said, based on what the Bears are building, what their thinking is, and, you know, their mission, I guess, this season, yeah, once he's more comfortable, then his natural ability will shine. And it better. I think the season depends on it, and I think if it does fall the right way, the Bears could beat anyone. You know, their defense is that good, and they've got enough talented players offensively.
Rich, draft class of 2019, we know that David Montgomery has to make some sort of impact on this team this year. Do you expect any of the other guys, Riley Ridley, Duke Shelley, Kareth White Jr., Steven Denmark, to make real impact on the 2019-20 Chicago Bears?
The guy that stands out to me from that group is Duke Shelley, because the organization thought he had a great spring. They were really impressed by him, and it's a little bit ironic because, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe he was invited to the NFL scouting combine. He was a bit of an afterthought nationally in the draft class, but he played outside mm-hmm. at Kansas State, and then the Bears have him playing inside.
Yep.
But think about their cornerback depth chart. There's not a lot of depth. I mean, Kevin Tolliver is their third corner outside. I mean, if Prince Amukamara, who's had hamstring issues in the past, or Kyle Fuller, whose injury issues in the past are well documented, if either of those guys go down, Kevin Tolliver's up. And that's a player with not much experience. I mean, they get thin there really quickly. And so I wonder if Duke Shelley can continue to impress coaches playing against second and third stringers in camp to the point where he earns a spot on the 53 and he becomes a player that if they have to turn to in the case of an injury, that maybe he can step up and play for them. Not necessarily inside, but outside because he's done it in the past.
Rich, I'm going to let you go and let you get back to the bliss of non-training camp life, but we're going to start a game today, and we're going to play it all through the preseason with your hits here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. No, yeah, we're not going to hold you to this. I just want to see how it changes over
okay.
the next 12 weeks or so. The name of the man who hits the first regular season field goal for the Bears is what?
I will say is... not on the team.
and
other than that, I'm picking from you know the rest of the field. I guess you want me to give you a name from the field.
I get that your pick is not on the team, but give me a name of a man.
All right. I'm going to give you a name of a man. I'm going to say Kari Vedvik, who's currently under contract with the Ravens.
Kari.
He's their backup there. Justin Tucker is their guy. The Ravens have said we're trying to trade Vedvik through camp. I would imagine the Bears have talked to them about him. I don't know that for certain, but if they're doing their due diligence, they've at least checked the price tag on that, and we'll see how that evolves.
All right, we're going to play this game.
Name.
It's a lovely name. We're going to play this game, and we're going to see after that first field goal goes up and hopefully through the uprights if Rich Campbell had a name on the list. Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure, guys. Have a great one.
See you, man. Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.